This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello, and welcome to WB2, the game review. UCLA beats the men of Troy 38-20 in a wonderful game at the Mausoleum. One of my favorite SC games I think I can remember, right up there with the last one at the Coliseum, where DTR was hurdling fools and getting Trojan kids to ask him for autographs. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm joined by no one tonight, although I have done a little party crashing. I went on to the Reign of Troy live carcast and went into their green room, or as I like to call it, the powder blue room, and flipped them off for a little while until they cut me off. And then I went on to their super chat and super chatted a donation of $38.20. Well worth all the dollars to troll them a little bit. I love those guys over there, but this is a good night, regardless of any circumstances, a good night to be a Bruin for sure. There will not be any, sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin tonight because it's not time for that. It's time to celebrate a really nice game by the UCLA football Bruins, taking a commanding lead 14-0. Should have been 21-0, let's be fair, before surrendering the second quarter to the Trojans, but then coming out strong in the second half and outscoring the Trojans 24-10 to go away winning, and really 24-3 before Caleb Williams got a garbage time touchdown late. But the Bruins cover big, blow out the Trojans. The Trojans end up losing to their crosstown rivals and their national rivals by combined score of 86-40. That is the way to win a rivalry game, I will tell you that. Feels really good. I won't say that it was never in doubt, because certainly in the second quarter, when it seemed like the Bruins could not capitalize on the opportunities that the Trojans, that they were earning from the Trojans, the defense playing so hard and getting such great results, but they really tried to gift the Trojans an opportunity to get back into the game there in the second quarter. But they come out in the third quarter and take care of business and put some distance, once again capitalizing on, you know, getting the offense going a little bit, but the defense making a huge scoop and score turnover to really put it, the game, get a wide margin on the game. And then the defense, you know, did their part the rest of the way. The offense added on a little bit, but just a fantastic, wonderful result at the Coliseum, despite or, you know, regardless of the circumstances surrounding Chip Kelly's situation, regardless of the absolute shameless gaslighting done to Bruin fans by the ESPN / ABC telecast. Dave Pasch should be ashamed of himself. That was shameless and ridiculous. It was as if he were talking to Bill Walton, right? All us Bruin fans were talking like Bill Walton on a Pac-12 broadcast or on an ESPN broadcast of a Pac-12 game, and he were treating us as if we were being that ridiculous. Just shameless. And they should be ashamed of themselves for how disingenuous they were about the Chip Kelly coaching situation at UCLA. And even with that being said, who the hell cares? I'm going to talk about more about that a little bit later. But look, I'm the softy here on the What's Brewing Show. I'm the one who, after watching what we watched at the Rose Bowl last week and feeling so down, and me spending hours producing wonderful post-game shows talking about the dread and horror that we're feeling about the program, I'm the one who, like, as soon as we get a nice victory by the Bruins at the Coliseum, beating up the crosstown, you know, the winning the crosstown showdown, I'm the one who can, you know, kind of turn on a dime and start, you know, you can talk me back into Chip Kelly again, probably. Although I still don't land on that. I'm still with the dark side, let's be clear. But I can see it, you know, and more importantly, I think after that game, we all have to be able to acknowledge that, you know, this is a situation now where he can hold on to this job. I'll talk more about that a little bit later, because I want to kind of enjoy this victory for what it was. But, you know, it's complicated, you know. It's really, there's no other way to say it. This is a complicated situation, and there's a lot of conflicting feelings for sure. And however, I think everybody just needs to take a deep breath right now. Even you, Michael Hanna. Even you. Even you, Godfather. Take a deep breath. Enjoy the Bruins kicking the shit out of the Trojans. It is what it is. 38-20. We got bragging rights all year long. It's a lovely thing. And this isn't... The thing is... I want to talk about this stuff later, but just in a sentence. This is much better than the victory that DTR got over the Trojans at the Coliseum a couple years ago, just because this is also the last game for Caleb Williams, right? We sent him out in style. That dude is an amazing athlete. That dude is going to be a good NFL quarterback. That dude was, even in this game, had some magic moments. Just like, man, how does he do that? However, he goes out a loser to the Bruins. He goes out getting mauled by the Bruin front seven. It was a terrific performance by the Bruin defense that absolutely shut down the pride and joy of the men of Troy and really puts a cap on the a bad cap, an ugly cap, on the end of their season. This is the last game for USC that they'll have with Caleb Williams in all likelihood, right? He's probably not going to play in the bowl game. This is the last game the Trojans will play in the Pac-12. And we could say, you know, just like Arizona and ASU were kind of stunting on the Bruins the last couple of weeks, and we had that bad taste in our mouth about that being our last matchup with the Arizona schools, it still hurts me. It still sucks. But you flip it around, and we can enjoy that a little bit this week. This is the last Pac-12 game between the Bruins and the Trojans, and the last game for Caleb Williams, and the Bruins kick their ass in their house. And I know both teams fell woefully short of expectations this year, but that still means something, and we can still enjoy that. Okay, well, I do want to get to a nice, I want to enjoy a game recap with this one and spend a little time stretching our legs out for this particular show. But this is the What's Bruin Show on the What's Bruin Show Network. We appreciate your support. You subscribe on Substack, whatsbruin.substack.com. You can subscribe on Patreon, patreon.com/whatsbruinshow or whatsbruinshow.com for just $2.
$2.
And you'll get that a lot, or subscribing on the Substack, you'll get access to exclusive shows, the Slack channel, and other fun stuff. Also, you can get WBS merch at my locker site. Look in the notes for the website there, just in time for Christmas. And on Twitter, at What's Bruin Show, and on Instagram, at What's Bruin Show. Every place we're on social media, it's pretty much at What's Bruin Show. You can email the show at What's Bruin Show. Or whatsbruinshow@gmail.com, I should say. And, of course, the hotline, 805-399-4WBS. Suck it, Reign of Troy.
I was actively rooting for UCLA today, and it makes me feel dirty.
I'm happy that UCLA won.
I'm happy that UCLA won. Go Bruins! Go Bruins! Go Bruins!
Yeah, that's lots of fun. Lots of fun trolling those guys. Love you guys. But, hey, yeah, you suck. Ha! Anywho, let's get on to a good game recap and let's enjoy what this was. 38-20, Bruins over Trojans today at the Coliseum.
UCLA! UCLA! Fight, fight, fight! We love LA.
All right, like I said, I do want to spend a little bit of time and just go through this game because there are a lot of fun moments to think about and to remember. While we do it, I have poured myself a nice celebratory drink if you are in a position to... You probably aren't listening to this. You're probably in your car or something or on a run or something. Leo's on the treadmill, so I don't advise you drinking on the treadmill, Leo. But I poured myself a nice Whistlepig 15. Got the good stuff out for a nice occasion. That always is the case when the Bruins beat the Trojans in the Crosstown Showdown. So I'm enjoying that right now, and let's get to the highlights of this.
Go Bruins!
UCLA starts out strong in this game. We found out early in the day, it was confirmed, although, you know, we'd been hearing from places like Bro.
Hi, Bro.
That Ethan Garbers was going to get the start. It was confirmed earlier in the day. And they come out, and Ethan shows once again why he is kind of a steady hand for the Bruins this year when he's actually healthy and upright.
My name is Ethan.
Or just call me E.
Almost every drive in the first half of this game, he contributed to the drive with some nifty running after a dropback. Of course, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because the game starts with USC with the ball. They win the toss, UCLA wins the toss. They defer. So USC has the ball first. And the Trojans get the ball on the 25, drive up to the 50-yard line, end up going for it on the 4th-and-1. And Austin Jones is stuffed by Jay Toya, who looked good in this game before getting hurt. Hopefully, it didn't look good when he got hurt, but he played well before he did go out. But anyways, the Trojans get stuffed on a 4th-and-1. surrender the ball at midfield, and this is all happening before it actually gets on to ABC. So when I actually turn the game on, I see garbage the ball at the 50-yard line, and immediately scrambles for 13 yards on a second and one play, and that's kind of what I was talking about. He did that over and over again to keep the chains moving, along with the fact that Kelly finally comes out in a game with a game plan that is kind of more aligned with what we all felt like he could win the game with, and that is running the ball, playing to the strength of your team. The way they looked in this game is what we've all been screaming for. They start the game off in a very heavy run script. Of the first 15 plays of the game, 11 were runs, right? And the only reason a couple of those were passes is because they end up getting a penalty to put them into a third and long, a second and long and third and long, a second and 15 and third and 15. But they come out establishing the run against a team that was vulnerable to the run, and it pays dividends, right? That's really all we wanted against ASU. That's it. And you might say, oh, well, Garbers didn't play against ASU. Yeah, well, Colin Schley could have executed the game plan that they ran in the first quarter against Sparky. There's no doubt in my mind. But hey, I don't want to get on a sidetrack right now. Let's talk about this game. The Bruins had gotten the ball after SE turns it over on downs on their first drive. They drive right down the field, end up scoring on a TJ Harden run out of the T formation. And like I said, Garbers had a hand in that with a nice scramble. He had a nice easy catch to Matavau over the middle, I believe. They score the first touchdown. Chip is wearing glasses for some reason. He would take them off, and then he'd put them back on again. There's a lot of shots of Chip on the sideline, of course, especially when Pash and the analysts were pumping him up. But the Bruins take a 7-0 lead. Then they get the ball, or SE gets the ball, and they force a three and out. One of those plays gets SC a false start because of a snap infraction. Obviously, the SC offensive line was really worried about the UCLA defensive line, and rightfully so. UCLA gets the ball back for their second drive. Harden starts running the ball, which is great. Garber scrambles for a little more, which is also great, and then they end up getting a penalty, Bruno Fina, and get put into second and third and long. But USC gets the ball back and promptly turns it over after a great play. Kenny Churchwell strips Zachariah Branch after he has a nice little gain there, but takes the ball right out of his hand, clear fumble, lands on the ground, the Bruins recover, and all of a sudden they're in business at the Trojan 20-yard line. Garbers makes quick work of it, scrambles for a five on a savvy play once again, and then hits Habermel for a 14-yard touchdown pass. All of a sudden, it's 14-0. The quarter is winding down, and it is all Bruins, and the Trojans look like they're rattled. They come out, and three plays later, again, the Trojans turn the ball over. Caleb Williams throws a interception. Devin Kirkwood makes a great freaking play on the ball, and the Bruins are once again, they have the ball at midfield, ready to strike the kill blow on SC, and it didn't feel like anything's going to stop them, but it turns out that something could stop them. They end up having a three and out, which is really frustrating, right? This is where the game got a little frustrating in that second quarter, and everything turned the Trojans' way at this point. USC had 70 total yards in the first quarter and ended up with like 200 yards in the second quarter. That shows you how lopsided it was. But still, the Bruin defense kind of held in there. And I thought the Bruins should be up 21-0. But then after the second quarter, it really should have been tied at best for UCLA. And you could have made the argument that the Trojans had a possibility to even score more points there. And so it really is a credit to the UCLA defense that they held them down. But after the Bruins failed to capitalize on the interception, they do get a terrific punt, right? There were some great punts for the Bruins on this day. They had one special teams meltdown again with a missed kick. But then after that, the special teams was pretty clean for them in this game, including some spectacular punting early where they put the Trojans inside the 10 on one. And then on this one, they put them inside the 1 yard line. And it still looked like it was going to be all Bruins. But then Caleb Williams kind of manufactures some magic. He gets him out of danger of getting a safety, and then hits Brennan Rice for a 74-yard touchdown pass, and that really did kind of suck the air out of the room for the Bruins at that moment, because it was like they went from absolutely they're going to be up 21-0 to now it's 14-7, and the Bruin offense needs to get it in gear, which they didn't do for the rest of the quarter, really. However, that next drive was good for the Bruins. They took up a ton of time, marched all the way down the field, and got inside the SC 20 and then stalled out, and then that's when they had the doink on the field goal. But, you know, if you combine the 74-yard touch, the not scoring on the interception, USC getting the big play for the score, and then the Bruins missing the field goal, giving SC the ball at their own 20, it really felt like SC had a chance to take control of the game right then and there, and the Bruin defense just wouldn't let it happen. The Trojans get the ball with a chance to tie the game, and they end up forcing another three and out for the Trojan offense. They stuff Marshawn Lloyd twice, and then Caleb Williams scrambles around, but he ends up getting dropped on a third and 12, gets back to just gets a couple yards, and they have to punt from their 20. Like they get the ball back after that missed field goal, and they go nowhere. And that was a huge play for the Bruin defense, and a huge play for the Bruins at that point, because all of the momentum had swung in the way of USC at that point, right? And the Bruin offense didn't get it to gear until the second half, but that was absolutely the most important drive of the second quarter for me, and that was the Bruin defense just stoning SC and not allowing them to capitalize on the momentum. The rest of the half for me was kind of like Spider-Man versus Spider-Man with the futile web shooting. SC does end up getting a field goal right to end the half to, I guess, technically win the middle eight, 3-0. But that was preceded by like three empty drives for both the Bruins and the Trojans. SC had a drive that they drove down the field and then missed a field goal. The Bruins get it back. They end up doing a three and out. Chip had been conserving time, gave Garbers the ball with 2 minutes left in the half, and he ended up going nowhere. They ends up getting sacked on a third and three, which gives, you know, they end up having a punt. And then SC drove down the field and get the last second field goal of the half. I know that's kind of confusing, but you know, I just remember it got very struggly there for a minute for both offenses, and you know, and really that cuts in favor of the Bruins, right? It just felt like SC was going to go into hyperdrive there in that second quarter, and the Bruin defense kept them from doing it. And getting into the locker room with giving up just 10 points was a huge victory for the Bruin defense. It was fantastic. And they ended up only giving up 10 in the second half too, right? So, and seven of that was kind of garbage time. So it really just was a great, I think the Bruin fans, I know I felt very fortunate that the Bruins were up by going into the half up by four, especially after feeling that they should have been up 21-0, right? And then all the momentum kind of shifted to USC in that second quarter. As I said earlier, they outgained the Bruins 200-60 in that quarter. And the Bruins, this is the only quarter where the Bruins really couldn't run the ball. They had 11 attempts, and they were at 1.6 yards per rush. So that it really got shut down for the Bruins in the second quarter, but luckily they survived it, got to halftime with the lead, and then they come out in the third quarter, and it was just all Bruins from that point, right?
Go Bruins.
I wrote in my notes at halftime that the Bruins were so lucky. I just said it, that they're so lucky that the Trojans only managed to score 10 points in that first half and that it probably wouldn't continue. But in the Bruins' favor, they had won the toss, deferred, and they get the ball coming out in the second half. And that obviously was a huge, huge drive for the Bruins. They get the ball. They come back to running the ball. In fact, TJ Harden comes out and runs it three straight times for a first down, and then they start mixing it up again from there. But they drive all the way down the field from the UCLA 35-yard line. They get into the to the USC 20, and then they have a play where it looks like they fumble the ball, but luckily Harden was down on the ground for that one. And then Garbers ends up scoring a touchdown to TJ Harden with just an incredible play where he's getting tackled and just flips it to Harden into the end zone. And Bruin fans, I think, breathe a sigh of relief there, because I think we were all worried that the Bruin offense had kind of bogged down like it had in the last couple of weeks, and maybe they weren't going to be able to produce from there. But that showed that they were still alive, still moving the ball on this really bad USC defense. And that kind of took a lot of the USC momentum out of the game. And luckily, that was going to get compounded just a play later. USC gets the ball back on their own seven after an illegal block in the back on the kickoff. And Marshawn Lloyd is stripped of the ball by Jalen Davies. A fantastic play. I'm still wondering how the ball popped out of there, because like on different angles it looked like it was like almost like a DTR fumble off my thigh pad thing. But I think that when Davies was tackling him, he actually did manage to contact the ball somehow. I guess we have to look at the post-game interviews to see if he said anything about that. But it's scooped up by Alex Johnson. The Bruins get a scoop and score by the defense and take away basically the 74-yard broken play they got that Zachariah Branch got in the first half. And now all of a sudden the Bruins are completely in control of this game, 28-10.
Go Bruins!
And then they end up exchanging field goals to end the quarter. But 28 to 13 ends up being as close as the Trojans get in this game because the Bruins score the next touchdown to make it 38-13 on the first drive of the fourth quarter, and it's all celebration after that. The Bruins end up in the second half using up 5 minutes of clock on the opening of the third quarter, 5 minutes of clock in the opening of the fourth quarter, and end up having a 38-13 lead after Garber's
Ethan.
Oh, just call me E.
Hits Habermill for a 15-yard touchdown, and that is the game right there. SC goes on to score a touchdown later in the game. Austin Jones runs up the middle for a touchdown, but who the hell cares? By that point, with only 10 minutes left in the game and the Bruins having a 38-13 lead, it really, you know, it was kind of coasting to the end at that point. And it was just a wonderful victory for the Bruins at the Coliseum, despite and regardless of any of the surrounding circumstances, which we will get to in a few minutes.
Fight, fight, fight!
I like UCLA to win the game.
All right, we're going to keep this relentlessly positive just for the next few minutes at least, as we finally get to uncancel one of my favorite segments, and that is the baller segment.
He's just a baller, man.
We didn't have any ballers against Arizona or ASU. And that's because the Bruins' offense managed to score 17 total points, and it was just an absolute nightmare. The Bruins' defense hung in there, and there really were some baller efforts in there, but we weren't acknowledging it because of how dreadful those losses were. But that certainly isn't the case in this particular game because we had ballers galore.
Just a baller, man.
We're going to start with the defense because that's really where this game was won. It was just a terrific day for the Bruins defense, showing that they are just one of the best squads in the country. I often poke fun at our friend Will Decker for being kind of Captain Hyperbole over there, but he called this as one of the great Bruins defenses of all time, and he is vindicated on that call. Now that we have one game to go left in the regular season, but some of the performances these guys have put up, and this was against a very legit offense, right? And an offense that only other legit defenses had been able to bother, and the Bruins just had a dominant effort here, led by their leader, and that is none other than Liatu Latu.
Straight baller.
Ends up with two sacks in a row on Caleb Williams, constantly harassing Caleb Williams, 7 total tackles, 5 solo, and just play after play after play. That is followed by only very, very, almost as impressive was Carl Jones.
He's just a baller, man.
The second leading tackler tonight, he had 6 total tackles, 6 solo tackles, 1 TFL, and that was chasing around and harassing Caleb Williams the entire night. So between Latu and Carl Jones, man, dude. And by the way, we don't have a Latu drop. I don't know why we don't, but we don't. But we can multi-purpose this one for Mr. Carl Jones. Because he was absolutely dominant tonight. And he even picked up an unsportsmanlike after the scoop and score, which we'll get to in a minute. But just so impressed by those two. They have been the heart of the Bruin defense all year long. And just super kudos to those guys. Also, the rest of the Bruins' defensive line, Keanu Williams, he was hassling Williams as well. Jay Toya before he got hurt, and the Murphy twins, they all were contributors tonight, and they are all ballers as well.
Just a baller, man.
Alex Johnson with a huge, huge scoop and score. He's a baller.
He's just a baller, man.
Devin Kirkwood with a sick interception. That was just outstanding.
Just a baller, man.
And Jerome Vaughn's also contributing with a nice sack in there.
Straight baller.
And really the whole Bruin defense. They just played so well together as a group, which is a shout-out to the coach, Danton Lynn.
Straight baller.
So just fantastic. Moving over to the offensive side, it starts with Ethan Garbers.
My name is Ethan.
Oh, just call me E.
He was talking about after the game how proud he was to and how this is a moment he dreamed of as a kid, and I'm glad he got to enjoy it. Certainly his career at UCLA has been a little bit star-crossed, right? But you saw a tweet from his brother, Chase, and I enjoyed watching Ethan out there have some success. It was great. It wasn't a perfect performance, but it was darn well good enough, and he made a bunch of plays that were his plays, right? This was not something that he was just kind of along for the ride for. He engineered some of these drives, and they would not have been successful without him making the play, and I want to congratulate him for that. He is a baller for sure tonight, and we appreciate him.
Straight baller.
Also, talk about the guys that he was giving the ball to. Hudson Habermill ends up with 2 receptions for 29 yards. Guess what? Both of them touchdowns.
He's just a baller, man.
T. T.J. Harden's coming out party, 22 carries for 142 yards, one touchdown, a long of 58 that was called by the anarchist. Absolutely a baller performance for that dude.
Just a baller, man.
And we appreciate it. The other running backs chipped in as well. And before the game, I said that they all needed to have, you know, like 15 for Harden, 15 for Steele, and 10 for Mr. Jones. And, you know, they ended up with that volume. It's just that Harden had the heavy load, and that is just fine. That was a great performance. Everybody looked good out there running the ball, though, and we really appreciate that. And just a terrific effort by the backs and the offensive line in getting that blocking done. And then along with Garbers, too, going back to him being a baller, he didn't run for a lot of yards, but he had some very timely plays that he made, and that was terrific. And then the receiver of the hour, I know it was Habermill, had two touchdowns, but where would the Bruins have been without Logan Loya in this game?
Baller, man.
I will say this. It seemed like for every three that he caught, he dropped one, but he did catch a lot of very important passes, converting third downs on the regular. And his long was only 13 yards, right? But he was targeted 13 times. He had nine catches for 60 yards, but a lot of first down plays, a lot of big plays for Garbers. He was definitely his go-to guy. I'm still wondering what happened to Kyle Ford and J. Michael Sturdivant. You know, Sturdivant only has one catch in this game and was only kind of looked for a couple times, but we'll get to that more in a moment when we talk about the coach's corner. But right now, it's celebratory. These guys are the ballers.
Straight baller.
Just a baller, man.
He's just a baller, man.
And we appreciate them. So go Bruins, go ballers. As far as wrinkles in this game that were deployed by Chip Kelly, there really wasn't a whole lot there. We just saw stuff that we had seen throughout the year for the most part. There was one play early in the game where they went into motion. He shifted into a two-back set, and I don't remember what play they ran out of it. But there wasn't a whole lot more of anything sort of new here. No big wrinkles. But just I came away having my opinions on Ethan Garber is kind of reinforced, right? He is a gamer. He makes timely plays. He's able to kind of game manage this team down the field. But you saw what is missing from the Bruin offense when he is out there. And that is why it's kind of bittersweet as far as like having J. Michael Sturdivant and Kyle Ford. I said I'd talk about it, and this is where I'm talking about it, on the field, because Garbers just cannot get the ball down the field reliably. And that was also Schley's weakness, although he can't get the ball, you know, to the middle, on short plays reliably either. You know, he just needs to run the ball. But this is what Garbers can do for you, but it also kind of showcases what his limitations are, because he missed a couple guys down the field that should have been touchdowns. And by the way, I don't want to take anything away from Garbers. He played a great game. They won the game. They dominated the game. But talking about unlocking everything this offense has to offer, and that shows you where the limitation is, I guess. With that being said, I said it on the Reign of Troy appearance I did, and I said it on the show I did with Mike a few days ago. This Bruin team has a good offense hidden in there somewhere that we were looking for after the last couple of weeks. And I didn't think there was a big probability for the Bruin defense to play this well and to shut down that Trojan team with Caleb Williams in his last game, probably as a Trojan, shut him down the way that they did. I just didn't think that was a very likely outcome. But it turns out that the thing that we weren't expecting is what transpired, which is basically a Bruin blowout. And that's okay. I thought that potentially it was there. I just didn't think the Bruin defense was going to be able to be that good. But I really did think the Bruin offense was going to score points. And this is the way that I thought they would score it if you would have told me that Garbers was out there. If it would have been more that they had turned to, I would have expected some more big plays down the field. Then you probably see the J. Mike game where he has, you know, over 100 yards and a couple touchdowns, because the Trojan defense certainly was vulnerable in that regard. And you can imagine more being able to make some big plays behind the great running game that was established by Kelly. And this is where I can reiterate just how depressing the last two games were, right? And where you kind of reiterate where maybe if Moore is given the shot at Stanford and able to get his kind of sea legs throwing the ball, maybe this turns into a different offense that is. last year. Really is one of the best in school history. Well, this is one of the best defenses in school history, and who would have thunk it after the first 5 years of the Chip Kelly era? You know, and that I think that says a lot. This is a really good defensive team. Let's hope they can keep some of the guys that aren't matriculating out of the program. Let's hope they can keep them together with this coach at least another year and see how it goes. Okay, now I think I'm about ready to start talking about some of the issues that complicate things for this Bruin team and this Chip Kelly regime.
Didn't you say on your resume that you did 4 years at UCLA?
Yes. Technically, if you consider Bel Air an extension of the campus, which everybody does.
So this has been a pretty wacky week. You know, it comes out, starts after that absolutely horrible, you know, seemingly program-ending loss to ASU last week against Sparky. Bruin Report Online, where our good buddy Mike works, of course, they come out with a report that there's a buyout being negotiated. Ben Bolch seconds that report. Or I want to say he either breaks it or seconds it. He's on the Bro Board kind of saying the same thing. And I want to say on like Podcast Champions, Dave Woods, the anarchist.
I'm a bomb-throwing anarchist now.
He is saying there's like a 5% chance that Kelly comes back. It sounds very confident about it. And that's what the whole front half of the week felt like and looked like. Chip Kelly comes out and has some interesting press conferences, one where he's kind of out of it, and the reporters, which is kind of ripe. You know, the reporters are complaining about how guilty they feel about asking Kelly questions, and then he kind of complaining about the fans getting on them about asking questions. You know, number one, yeah, they are right. Like, let them ask their questions. Being in a scrum isn't an excuse for people to act like dicks to the coaches and to the staff and to the players. There's a reason why everybody hates TJ Simers and why he's a universally reviled asshole. But as of Wednesday, I mean, the arrows were certainly pointed down for the Chip Kelly era, and everybody was kind of saying this.
Chip Kelly can kind of be a dick.
And this.
I think Chip Kelly is probably the worst coach in the Pac-12 right now.
And we were just like, okay, well, it just seemed like it seemed inevitable, right? And then the Daily News, our friend James Williams, his organization comes out with an article. I think it started in the OC Register, but UCLA super donor, super supporter Casey Wasserman is quoted as saying that the fire Chip talk is, quote, ridiculous. And that certainly was a counterpoint to where, you know, kind of the wind was blowing. But, you know, Mike and I talked about it on the show a few days ago. And certainly that would have to raise some eyebrows as to the state of the program at that point. Although it wasn't a direct, like, contradiction of what Bro and Bolch were reporting, right? But then you get to this game. And here I'm going to go off on a little bit of a jag once again on how ridiculous this fucking broadcast was. It was absolutely ridiculous the way they were pumping up Kelly. And by the way, this is someone coming from someone who has supported Kelly right up until this last weekend. And I'll be perfectly honest with you guys. Maybe some of you are completely set in stone on how you feel. I am not. I keep flipping and flopping with the breeze. I think I still am kind of on the wagon of, I feel like Kelly should go personally, but I think that's more because I don't want to hear all the fire Kelly talk over the offseason and listening to people relentlessly kind of panning the program and talking about the apathy that is this clearly set in with Chip's program, right? And you looking at the people that have shown up the rose. We'll get to that part in a minute. But just my thoughts on the Chip Kelly program are not necessarily one-sided. They're not completely one way or the other. And I am conflicted about it. However, this broadcast was so full of shit. Dave Pasch should be ashamed of himself. It was just terrible because it was, you know, I mentioned it earlier. It's just a clear gaslighting of us Bruin fans, making us feel like on a national broadcast, talking like we're all out of our minds for complaining about where the UCLA program is under Chip Kelly. And it's just, you hear this, you know, you expect to hear this from some jackass in Georgia talking on a Go Dogs podcast. You know, I think I saw a Twitter thing going around that, like, oh, what does UCLA expect? Should they win, you know, 8-9 games and they're going to complain about it? Yada, yada, yada. But you don't expect that from a national broadcast that is supposed to be giving you the complete picture, that is supposed to be calling it down the middle, that is supposed to be not in the bag for somebody. But Pasch and the analyst, Dusty Duvercheck, my apologies to him if I'm saying his name wrong, but they come out and they're like, oh, you know, we've been hearing noise in Westwood about Chip Kelly. It's like, oh, we just can't really understand it. You know, if you look at his last three seasons, And they've gone 23-12. And oh my gosh, he's about to put together his third 8-win season in a row at UCLA. And that just doesn't happen very often. And completely ignoring the fucking context of those statements, right? He's not saying that, oh yeah, in 2021, they had a great season compared to the first three Kelly seasons, but they finished 8-4 and didn't beat a team with a winning record. Right. And by the way, that was the best season Kelly's turned in. That's the only season where he actually finished strong, winning three straight at the end. But then they had that mysterious, you know, stupid bowl forfeit where they didn't end up playing NC State. And he doesn't say that, oh, in 2022, they actually finished by losing three of their last four games and having horribly embarrassing losses to Arizona and Pittsburgh. Inexplicable losses. And oh, yeah, this year, too, where they're looking really good. They start the season really well and then they end up losing that horrible game to SU where they're 17-point favorites at home against a team that has two wins. It's ridiculous. Painting the brightest possible picture or interpretation of the Kelly era up to this point without acknowledging any of the downside, which is really what we're all complaining about. You know, I really did think the anarchist...
I'm a bomb-throwing anarchist now.
...was kind of piling on Kelly this week a little bit unfairly, and, you know, and folks that have been out on Kelly for a while, they do tend to not talk about the steps forward that he did take with the program after he put it down into the gutter, right? Down into the trash. And there have been, but we wouldn't be all pissed off about the Kelly era if he hadn't have got us excited in the first place, right? First, he gets hired, and we're all talking about, and by the way, all these assholes, all these national media people that are coming to his defense at this point, shamelessly, like Pash, this is what they were saying when Chip Kelly was hired. This is the expectation that they set in, like, along with us. Let's remember this. I played this on the show this last week.
Chip Kelly chose UCLA over Florida.
Chip Kelly's coming for you. Florida got screwed by Jim Morgan fired.
Looks like it's a slam dunk. It looks like there's no way Chip Kelly can fail.
Whatever it was that was being said about UCLA up to this point, since the, you know, retirement of Coach Donahue till now, it's now gone.
UCLA's been down. You know, that's not going to last much longer.
I don't care what happens from here. UCLA won the coaching carousel.
With UCLA getting Chip Kelly, the bar has been raised.
This is a really, really big deal for the Pac-12.
This is by far the biggest seismic moment in the history of UCLA football.
That's what they were saying 6 years ago. And by the way, you know, like Petros, money, they were really making a point of the hire was a big deal. Stu Mandel was saying the hire was a big deal. It was a seismic shift. But it was. Like, that's still the best hire UCLA's made in any of our lifetimes. But it didn't pan out. But that's why when on this stupid broadcast, they failed to even mention that Chip Kelly is still at 500 at UCLA. 33-33 until after this game, and he's 34-33. That is so completely disingenuous, and it is just a slap in the face to any of us living here in the city. Absolute bullshit. And by the way, that is in stark contrast to how they're dealing with Lincoln Riley. Now, look, there's a world I guess that if the Trojans are kicking the shit out of the Bruins, maybe they don't go as hard with this pro-Kelly talk as they did. I get that. You know, maybe now they go with the let's defend Lincoln Riley talk, and it just shows how flippant these broadcasts are. I mean, we already had this week with the big story was how sideline reporters make up their stories, right? And this is just another example of how full of shit these people are. It's not all these broadcasters and broadcasts, but I swear, in this one in particular, just completely disingenuous. And I just said it before, you know, contrast that starkly to how they treated Lincoln Riley in this game, who's getting his ass kicked on the sideline, who their team has lost 5 out of 6, their team is finishing with a whimper instead of a burst. Caleb Williams leaves the Coliseum on a low note, of course, right? But they're saying stuff on the broadcast, like, and this goes to like what the Dusty guy was saying, SC, they just haven't recruited on the lines very much, and they just really need to, you know, where are they going to be without Caleb Williams next year going into the Big Ten? And look at this tough schedule. Not even mentioning that UCLA has pretty much the same schedule as USC does next year. Every bit is tough. And where are they going to be, right? Statements like, oh, you know, SC hasn't recruited any offensive linemen, but, you know, UCLA, Chip Kelly, this is a direct quote from this fucking broadcast. Chip Kelly knows how to recruit from the inside out to win championships. Now, I'm not nearly as down on the UCLA offensive line as others are, but this certainly is the worst one he's had in the last few years. And by the way, the key part of that is winning championships. Kelly has not come close to winning any sort of championship, any sort of anything as the Bruin coach. And they just skate right over that, right? Making us all feel like assholes for saying, oh, how could you guys be after this guy's job? He's doing so well in Westwood. Oh my gosh, they never win 8 games in a row, year to year to year. I will reiterate it once again. There's been 14 coaches for the UCLA Bruins that have coached at least a season. Chip Kelly is number 11 on that list, not even in the top 10 with how successful he's been as the Bruin coach. He turned in two of the worst seasons in the last 100 years of UCLA football when he started his regime. Meanwhile, the last person to coach UCLA football before Chip Kelly is in Arizona, had two down years, and now he has a team that is absolutely heads and shoulders ahead of where UCLA football is right now. That would be Jed the Fish over in Arizona. It hurts me to say it, but it is what it is. So, Dave Pasch, Dusty, don't pee on my head and tell me it's raining. And don't try to come at me with, oh, we're just doing our job and doing what we're supposed to do. Because there's a way to not pile onto Chip Kelly without completely discounting the very valid complaints that the UCLA fan base has about his regime and its clinging to mediocrity at this point. UCLA might keep Chip based on this win. They might. And I'll be okay with it. I'll be resigned to that. I'll be okay with that. I know a lot of other people won't. I know Hannah is going to be circling the drain on this one. The anarchists are going to be circling the drain on this one. Not me. I feel like I was almost as upset at the prospect of how many people were going to leave this program if Kelly was fired, and just the going back to the doldrums of having having to do a complete rebuild. So whatever. I'm crazy. I'm stupid for being able to waver on that. But that broadcast was just absolutely dreadful. And with that, we can transition into what the actual quotes that were coming out of the broadcast that were attributed to Martin Jarmond, where he's saying that he had talked to Kelly before the game and said that the rumors of his demise were, greatly exaggerated. I think what the actual quote was, he said that it was inaccurate and disrespectful. So, I mean, it certainly would cut against everything that Bro.
Hi, Bro.
And Bulch.
Bro.
Bro.
Were reporting, early in the week. And it kind of goes along more with the Casey Wasserman kind of feel of things. And really, honestly, even though it felt so over after the ASU game, I said it earlier, a topic that I wanted to discuss with Michael and Alicia and Mike before I had to postpone the show on Tuesday night was, is there a score that secures Chip Kelly's job or that tilts it back into his favor? And quite honestly, this is the game that could do that, right? This is a game where they completely dominated SC. This is a game where they looked good. This is one of the best-looking games that they've had this year, top to bottom. We talked about the limitations that the offense had, not being able to get down the field. But you talk about having an offense that matched up with the defense and running the ball effectively and all those things. And I know it's all, against a SC defense that sucks, but the job that the UCLA defense did against the SC offense is a justification. This game, this blowout makes us all feel pretty darn good despite the circumstances. I know some of your calls are going to probably reflect differently of that. I know the Godfather has different feelings about that, but at the same time, the Godfather acknowledges that this is not a good data point for those that want Chip Kelly shipped out of town on the next railroad car, right? This is one that certainly speaks in favor of him and his program. And I said a few minutes ago, I'll say it again. I am definitely conflicted, right? When I came out of the ASU loss and I'm just like, oh man, I finally flipped on this. And then I listen to Wayne Cook and I'm like, okay, well, I guess maybe Wayne's got a point, But it still doesn't feel to me like Chip Kelly is the answer to this program long term, because they just can't get over the goddamn hump. He spent 3.5 seasons just trying to get to 500 on his record at UCLA, and then he spent the last 2.5 seasons at 500. That's not okay. That is not up to the UCLA standard. I don't care how much you want to demean what UCLA football is. If you're some stupid national guy or you're a fan of some blue blood football program that you actually don't have a diploma from, but UCLA fans deserve better than what this has been, and they should expect more than what this has been. And maybe if Chip stays, he gets turned around. Maybe, but every game that goes by, and every deflating loss that goes by, it just feels more and more unlikely, right? And I think I'm the one giving him the benefit of the doubt. So if I'm here, if this is where I'm feeling, God help the rest of us. And you would just hope that if this is Chip winning his job back, or if this is Chip securing his job, that Jarmond or Wasserman or whoever is relevant to the UCLA program has some sort of plan in place to get some more butts into the Rose Bowl, to get the NIL going, right? Oh, by the way, another way that that broadcast was just full of shit is, oh, you know, UCLA, you know, they haven't had that much NIL. They're in this situation. Why don't they have NIL? Why don't they? Because of the way Chip has handled it. It's a problem of his own making. Those are the reasons why he has lost support. So once again, let's just be honest with each other, please. We may be keeping Chip. That is apparent. There are positives that go along with that. So don't think like it's all negative. We've all got excited at points for a reason. So theoretically, eventually, if he keeps getting chances, he may break through. It's just we've all become resigned to the fact that, well, we've seen it so many times and had it taken away from us so many times that he's probably not going to. And I still would say that that's a very rational take on things. But I don't know. Hope springs eternal, I guess. Sometimes, although not today, as the Bruins kick the shit out of Troy, sometimes it still is hard to be a Bruin. But let's move on to your calls.
I felt the Bruins might win this game. Why do I say that? Because for many years, the only times UCLA ever beats SC is when the game means nothing. And that was the case today. The game meant absolutely nothing. When the Bruins beat SC 2 years ago, that game meant nothing. But when the Bruins played them last year, when the Bruins had a chance to knock SC out of the playoff, of course the Bruins lost. It took Utah to knock SC out of the playoff. I remember a time when UCLA beating SC actually meant something. 1965, they played for the Rose Bowl, and the Bruins beat them, went on to win the Rose Bowl. In the 1980s, the same thing happened. But lately, every time the Bruins beat them, what does it mean? Okay, they beat SC, but it was a meaningless game. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad the Bruins won. You always want to beat crappy SC. But I'm definitely not thrilled because I wanted a boring win. I wanted UCLA to not look impressive. I didn't want UCLA to win decisively. Why? Because Chip Kelly needs to be fired. And I'm afraid a decisive win like today is going to save his job. And anyone who's happy about that is just playing checkers. You got to consider the bigger picture. You got to play chess. And if you actually think that keeping Chip is playing chess, well, maybe it's time for you to consider playing Monopoly. We've been through this before. 2 years ago, the Bruins beat them 62-33. Oh, we're making progress, some people said. We're making progress. What progress? It's all stagnant. Chip's got to go.
I'm not going to argue with the Godfather at all, and I appreciate him leading off the calls with that. I've said it for the last 3 years. If you have an axe to grind with Kelly after how the program has shaped up under his tenure, I can't disagree with you. I would always also say that if you have some reason why you think Kelly's doing enough to keep the job and continue forward and take the Bruins in the Big Ten, well, I had thought up to last week that that you had a legitimate argument there too. That is becoming less and less of a viable argument, in my opinion. But certainly, you know, if one of the data points is kicking the shit out of SC 38-20 on Caleb Williams' swan song and sending them out with a nice shit sandwich, then, you know, we all have to admit that this is one that cuts against the Fire Kelly argument. And obviously, I think that's what the Godfather was worried about. All right, let's get to the proper calls. Who is up?
Well, that was an incredible game. From total despair last weekend to total elation this weekend. We had the greatest party out here in Corona with all sorts of Bruin fans, and it felt so good compared to the total darkness from last week. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Does this game save Chip's job. I really don't think it should. I think that it was the kids who came together and decided they were not losing this game. And so anyway, great. Will be great fun to hear the post-game show. Take care, guys. I'm hoarse from yelling. Bye-bye. It's Nancy from the Inland Empire.
Thank you, Nancy. I think really Nancy and I are super simpatico on this one, as always. I couldn't be more happy with the result. I couldn't have had more fun. Any more fun watching the game. I actually watched the game, like I said, after I went to the auto show and came back and just watched it on TV with my mom sitting there, and she got into it as well. She was very happy to see the Bruins win. But this doesn't swing back over to, oh, yeah, Chip's got it under control, right? I'm still of that opinion. But, you know, if it doesn't turn out that way, I think I'll be able to live with it and rationalize it too. Hopefully you can as well. Hannah, it'll be okay. All right, who is up next? I think it might be Leo.
Hey, it's Leo from Long Beach. Congratulations to our Bruins for today's win. Don't know what to say about coaching as far as any changes for the upcoming year. But I think there's a lot of fans that just completely checked out, and it's evident with our attendance and even with our engagement. There wasn't even a pushback in regards to the canceling of the bonfire earlier this week. So, yeah, I think we need to change, but excited for the players, for our Bruins, the alumni, the fans, and the current students. So go Bruins. Taking off to Mexico City tonight in my blue and gold gear. Super excited to take a little trip for Thanksgiving break. Section 16, I will be back for the Cal game. All right, everybody, go Bruins.
Thank you, Leo, and I will be back for the Cal game as well. Me and Megan will be there in a father-daughter UC showdown, and I'm looking forward to that as well. And Leo, you know, me, Leo, Nancy, all reasonable minds. And I think we're all expressing ourselves kind of in the same manner. It is what it is. This game was fantastic, but it doesn't justify everything that's come before it. And that's just where we're landing right now. Who knows? Maybe we'll feel different if they win the next two games 60-0. I doubt they will, but, you know, there's room for that. But, yeah, I agree with you, Leo, and I agree with you, Nancy. Incidentally, the Godfather was texting us after the game, telling us about Bruin Talk with Tim Cates, and he was giving us the play-by-play of each caller that was calling in, and with a similar message as to what Leo and Nancy just said, right? Happy about the game, but that doesn't mean that Chip should be retained. But, you know, at this point, like I said, you have the ability for the administration to kind of squint their eyes and just carry on. And coincidentally, we have Carrie.
Hey, what's Bruin Show? That was a fun game. That was awesome. And I feel really good about how the team played. Obviously, I think everyone does, although we know USC, I mean, their defense sucks, but I think every single member of the defense, you can point to some play or plays that they executed that moved UCLA in the right direction.
Straight baller.
And it's good to see that even after, you know, Gary Smith going down, Jay Tuia going down. These are big losses, and the defense just next man up mentality, and they took care of business. It was fun to watch. Really happy about the offense. Ethan Garber's just was amazing. And obviously Harden. I mean, he was the offensive guy of the game in my view. But Garber's close second. I mean, just extending the plays, making some amazing throws. So yeah, obviously very happy, and I guess Chip's execution date is stayed by the bell. And we'll see what happens with Cal. I'm hoping that Chip will have similar success to Cal and in the bowl game as well. And that may save him. But anyhow, looking forward to your show, getting your thoughts. Thanks again for this call in line. It's a fun podcast. I love listening to it. Take good care. Go Bruins!
Thank you, Carrie. It's a wonderful call, and we appreciate your support. Absolutely. And I love the line, too. All right, Kelly was saved by the bell, the victory bell, that is. That was very good. And I agree with you. Harden, it was a Harden game for sure. So we got one more call. Once again, if you guys want to call some more in advance of Tuesday's show, the post Crosstown Showdown show, but the pre UC Showdown show, call into the hotline 805-399-4WBS, Second Reign of Troy.
I was actively rooting for UCLA today, and it makes me feel dirty.
Maybe I'll try to get one of them on the show then. I don't know. Did I already say this on this podcast show? But I did spend my time before the show trolling them pretty hard. So that was fun. So it's always fun to be Bruin when you've just won the Crosstown Showdown. But anywho, last call, and then I got to get out of here. It's getting late. It's already after almost 11:30, and I still have to publish this thing. So let's get to the last call, please. But keep calling in, please.
Great victory. I'm happy that we beat USC, get the victory bell back. But I just want to say one thing, and it piggybacks on Mike's comment last week. Football is just a game. It's not something to be angry about. It's not something to attack somebody else over. Leaving Nikali, going through the Rose Garden at Exposition Park, a couple of people got assaulted. One was a fight between a Bruin fan and a Trojan, and then another Bruin fan kicked a Trojan fan on the head. It's insanely nuts. It's not even needed. You know, just, it's a sport. We're supposed to be entertained. That's all it's about. But outside of that, have a great show and go Bruins.
Thank you, Des. No, and those are absolutely wise words. Some of the showdowns I've been to, you know, there was a stabbing before a game, you know, a number of years back, just some terrible outcomes at some of these games, the rivalry games. And there's no need for that at all. And yes, very, very thoughtful and very wise words from Dez. And we're all excited about the game, but yeah, there's no room for that shit. So thank you. Guys, this has been fun. I'm enjoying a 38-20 victory over the Trojans as much as anybody. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
I'm happy that UCLA won.
I'm happy that UCLA won.
Go Bruins.
And we'll be back on Tuesday night to talk about this game and look forward to Cal. Hopefully another win for the Bruins. And as far as the Chip Kelly stuff goes, you know, let's just all acknowledge that we don't really have any control over the situation. I mean, we really put ourselves out there last week after the ASU game, really declared our feelings. And it might amount to a whole bunch of nothing. Who the heck knows? And maybe it's for the best, and maybe it isn't. I don't know. We can still voice our frustrations, and we can still be happy about this program, and we can still be sad about this program when it's appropriate to be sad. But as Des just said, it is, at the end of the day, just a sport and something that should be bringing us together and not splintering us apart. Sometimes we're together to root on the Bruins. Sometimes we're together to fang a coach, but we're all still together. And I thank you for that. Go Bruins. They beat those damn dirty Trojans 38-20. And it does feel good. So at least for this night, we can all be united in that.
Good evening.
Smoke them if you got them.
That was the What's Bruin Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, bro, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.